News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, Andrea talked a little bit about people abandoning their New Year's resolutions at the weekend. I'm sure a lot of you over Christmas got some wearable device, a Fitbit or a Garmin or something along those lines to help you battle the bulge in the new year. Well, our technology correspondent Jess Kelly is here for our weekly tech check to talk a little bit about those devices and what they can do. Jess, I suppose it's probably no surprise to anyone that more and more people than ever are wearing them.
They are wearing them, but keeping with Andrea's trend of, you know, raining on people's New Year parade, one third of people will stop wearing their wearable within the first 6 months of the year, and half of people will abandon them eventually. So you can't really say, oh, I've put a wearable on my wrist, therefore I will be fitter in 2020. There's a little bit more to it than that. A lot of research has been done in the last few years about these wearables, because we know we've got brands like Garmin, like Fitbit, the Apple Watch. And what the research has found up to this point is that they're more motivators. It's like having a little cheerleader rather than going to guarantee that you will lose the weight or you will get fitter or you'll complete a 10K or a 20K. So there is a little bit more to it, unfortunately.
What type of things can these devices do? Because I'm conscious most people listening, even people who have them, just use them for really counting their steps, isn't it? Do I get to my 10,000 today?
Yeah, and that alone is an interesting point. So the very basic models that started out were step counters. And very often it was, will I get to the 10,000 steps? But if you talk to any fitness professional or any medical professional, they will say that it's more about the intensity of the steps than just reaching the 10,000 step goal. A lot of the devices now can monitor things like your sleep, like how many flights of stairs you go up, and your heart rate. The big issue with this is that, you know, all of this information is displayed beautifully in an app on your phone, but it's what you do with that information that really matters.
Yeah, because I'm sure if I had all that information, I wouldn't understand the relevance of it. You know, how many flights of stairs I went up or down, or the intensity of my steps. Like, I'd have all the data, but it means nothing to me.
Oh, it means nothing. And the worst thing, when I started reviewing these devices, I would start Googling what my heart rate at 97 means. And at the time, I was probably 22 and it said I should be dead. You know, all of that information, the misinformation, is pretty worrying. So it's more about informing ourselves, ensuring that we are moving. At the moment, as I'm talking to you, I have an Apple Watch on my wrist and it's just telling me right now that I should stand up. So again, it's giving you those little nudges. It's when you go see your GP and you're going for the full MOT, you're being told to check up on, you know, your heart rate, your movement. If you are noticing trends, for example, in your sleep habits, in elevated heart rates at a time when you're not exercising, that's when you bring it to a medical professional and you ask the questions. But in terms of day to day, you know, is it really going to make a difference to your health and your fitness? As I said, it's more of a motivational tool than sort of a personal trainer.
And down the line, Jess, you talked about kind of liaising with doctors. Is that where this technology goes? We talk a lot about prevention rather than cure, keeping people out of the health system. It strikes me that all the technology is there for general practitioners, if they're the time and the investment, that they would know in advance, look, Jess Kelly needs to come in because, you know, we're connected to her wearable device and it's telling us, you know, her heart rate is up too high, she's getting all this arrhythmia at night when she's sleeping, or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, absolutely. The big issue around that, you know, the technology is there, the knowledge is there. It's all about privacy. So would I want my GP to see all of the information that is collected on my wearable? We've heard of some of the big companies in the US giving financial incentives to their employee to wear a fitness tracker that is then passed on to their insurers so they can see if people are not sleeping well, if they're overworked, if their heart rate is going up. So I do think that will come eventually, but we do need to get over the privacy and the data protection barrier first.
Jess Kelly, News Talk's technology correspondent. Jess, thanks a million for speaking to us.